That's not our particular arena of God's dealings as much as it is for some people. But for some people, that's an excruciating choice to forsake the foolish. But that's the only way we can live. Forsake the foolish and live. It's a clear call to a decision to live on a very different diet. What do you mean? Jesus tells us here about a natural feast and a spiritual feast. We're just going to read it, make just one or two points. And then said he also to him that bade him, that invited him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, your kinsmen, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. Just exactly the people we would call. Lest they bid you again, and it becomes chop for chop. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Now, God doesn't give his word and not live by it. And have you ever wondered why, in the fellowship of God's people, we're such a poor, sickly lot? We are the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, aren't we? We are the rich and the sophisticates of the land, the success stories of the world, are we? And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed with the resurrection of the just. I think one of the things the Lord is saying here behind this, many things no doubt in his teaching, a point or two, but I think he's talking about our priorities. If we're busy socializing on the world's level of priorities, we're just not going to have time, energy, or money to socialize on his level. You know, sometimes I feel, I take a stop, what's wrong with us? We're not in the cocktail circuit. And we do not do the entertaining that, according to the world, and you know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we can't help but find ourselves thinking as the world thinks. And I just find myself thinking sometimes, I just almost never have dinner parties. And when once I did have one about a year ago or something, I said to the people who came, I said it was worse than a three-day conference. I could speak better at three-day conference than to put on this thing. It just was such an effort for me. And then I think, well, what is the Lord saying? Maybe he's wanting us to get our priorities. It's not wrong that it's wrong to have dinner parties and luncheons, and I'm just, no one loves more than me to be invited to such. But that were our priorities, that our hearts be open, that we not be inclusive, and that we first give first place to those who are the needy ones. And thou shalt be blessed. Then he went on, verse 15, and when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the lord said, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The first little story that we read was mostly in reference to who you give hospitality to. In other words, the host and the hostess. The second is our role as guest, provided. Now, what is our kind of a response? What is our priority when we are receiving an invitation from the Lord? This is why it is often the poor and those who are maimed and halt and blind that are ready to receive, because they don't already have. They are the have-nots in this kingdom. They are the poor. They are ready to have what the Lord has for them. And how easy for us too to have the cares of this world. If we're well satisfied with, we have a field and we have a material blessings here, and we have a happy home and marriage and house and so on. Perhaps we're not so eagerly hungry for the things of God that He is open to us. That's why it's the broken Mary Magdalene's that will come to Him, run to Him to find Him, and He will honor with the very first appearance after the resurrection. The people that are the despised, that is wrong to have these things. It's the spirit in which we hold to them, isn't it? It's right. In fact, the Lord has blessed us in many ways. We are rich, rich, rich compared to most of the world. Very rich. So we are the haves, but oh, that our spirit may be kept to hold very lightly, touch lightly, things that we possess. And that's why there's a blessing when we're out of a job. There's a blessing when we're out of our health. And there's a blessing when we're financially being strained. Because then we are not so having, we're have-nots. And we can then understand how precious are the things that really count. That we set our affection on things of God. Jesus said, well, I just want to point out to you, the feast, the cost of hospitality, the cost of this hospitality of meat and drink, of meat and wine, was enormous for God to give to us, because it's the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ. It cost His very life. Free to us, that cost Him everything. Flesh and blood. But the cost, as far as the Feast of Folly is concerned, its content is nothing and its cost is nothing. Came straight from Satan. She sits there waiting just for her pleasant moments and knowing nothing, as it says in verse 13. Nothing to offer. And it cost her nothing to give it. I want to point out this, that for us to eat, for us to be able to invite people to a feast of wisdom, as the Lord wants to use our table, our home, our hearts, our lives, we also have to eat the bread. You remember that verse that we read in Luke 14 where it says, blessed are those who eat bread in my kingdom. I want to point out the difference between sitting, examining the bread, even making the bread for other people to eat. We can do that, we can bring about teaching, but unless we apply it, the interpretation is like an analysis of the recipe. But the eating of the bread is when it's my will. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So how did his life become meat? When he ate the bread of the will of the Father. Bread is the Word of God. When you eat the Word of God, when you live in the will of God, that is the same as making meat. Bread eaten becomes flesh. That in turn becomes bread for somebody else to eat. And water, when it's mixed with blood, becomes wine. It will be a blessing to others. Life cost. The fifth and last point of this feast is why I didn't have a good word to use. I had to use the word I wanted for the bad one, hangover. And it's not applicable really to the first part, because what does the Feast of the Wise offer here? Do you see? And live, verse 6. Live. The Feast of the Wise offers life. The Feast of the Foolish offers a lie. Offers a lie. Stolen waters are sweet. They are not. They are only temporarily tasting sweet. But in the end, they are bitter. And the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. So the hangover is hell for the Feast of the Foolish, but life. The motto here of the wise is found in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is the verse we want to memorize for this chapter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Just looking at verse 7 to 9, I want to just point out the contrast is not between the invited and the non-invited. We already said that all were invited who were simple or ignorant, who were needy. The contrast is in the response. The response of the one who gets the invitation. And correction is wisdom's teaching method. So here it says, he that reproveth a scorner, verse 7, getteth to himself shame. So those who are foolish are not going to accept it, you see. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a block. They will only be rejected. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. No point even offering the Feast of Wisdom there. But rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The motto of the wise is the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The motto of the foolish is stolen waters are sweet. That which is illegitimate, that which is illicit, and the hangover is in the end, of course, death. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, you spread daily before us a feast. And many, many times, like the harlot sitting at the door of her own house, doing her own thing, with a heart adulterous to her God, choosing to love herself and others rather than her Lord, like her, we have sat. We have tasted the stolen waters. We have found, O Lord, that the bread eaten in secret is pleasant, only to discover, too, that that is not the end. Lord Jesus, we would choose to be the wise, to accept the invitation. We would ask, O God, that you would bring a blessing on each one of us. that the portion of your table that you want to speak to each of us, that part of your living word, your bread of life, that you want us to eat, that we might eat and live. O Lord Jesus, we would indeed be your people, choosing your feasts, not our own, and being willing, O God, to invite to the feast that you give to us in turn to share those whom you would choose, those who are needy, and not, O Lord, just choosing to please ourselves. There's so much in here that we feel perhaps we haven't lived, but we have looked. Now, Lord, may we learn. By your Spirit I pray. Amen.